Saturday Night Country, Australia's home of country music. ABC Local Radio, Radio Australia, and on the World Wide Web. And tonight in our studios of Saturday Night Country, I welcome ex-Star Maker winner, but that was such a long time ago, Kirsty Lee Akers. Welcome back to Saturday Night Country.
Oh, thank you, John. It's great to be here. It's very exciting to be back.
Seems like a long, long time ago you were.
It does, doesn't it?
But it was last year.
It was so yesterday, John.
It was so yesterday. A lot of things have happened since then.
It has. I can't believe how time has gone. I was thinking about it the other day. I was only 18 when I won Star Maker, and by the time my new album comes out in January next year, I'll be nearly 21. So I'm going to be a real old duck, aren't I?
Yes, you are indeed. Look, I'd like to go back to that time at Star Maker again and just think about that and what it meant to you. We've been talking about that a bit on Saturday Night Country. Of course, it's not that far away if you think about it. You know, it's early next year. The same thing happens again. Some people have said how many different times they actually try to get into Star Maker. Did you have to do the same thing?
I was very, very lucky. To go into Star Maker, you have to be 18 to start off with. And I was 18, so as soon as I did turn the big 1-8, I entered Star Maker. And luckily enough, I did win it first go, and I didn't have to go on it, but I think I probably would have if I had to, because it's something I've always wanted to achieve, and it's just amazing that I got to do it at so young and straight away, not have to go back in it time and time again.
We better explain. It's a big contest.
It's something that's
very important to, particularly it seems to the female country music act.
Well, definitely. Star Maker is something I grew up watching as a little kid. I started going to Tamworth when I was probably about 2 years old, and Star Maker was always the big highlight for my family. We'd always watch it, or we'd listen to it over the radio and find out who the winner was, and to be able to go in it straight away and take it out was just amazing. But I think when you think about some of the people that have won it in the past, people like Lee Kerning and Becky Cole, Gina Jeffries, did I say Keith Urban?
All
the big ones, they've all won Star Maker. So I think that puts a lot of stars in people's eyes when they think about that and what that sort of competition can do for your career.
So you think you could be, and you think about Gina Jeffries and the Becky Coles that have gone before. So you sort of thought about that as an artist?
Definitely. I definitely want to have a very long career in country music, and Star Maker is just a wonderful thing that sets your career up for you and puts you sort of a couple of steps in front of everybody else, I guess.
Now, with hindsight and that period of time that's gone since you were there doing that, those doors, are they open for you? I mean, the album, we're hearing tracks from this album, which was a result of that. So have you noticed the times and life is completely different?
Definitely. It's not just a cliche. You know, you always hear people say that it changes your life and it does open a lot of doors, but it really does. You know, I've got my record deal now with Compass Brothers Records, and we're starting to work on the second album now, which I never thought would happen this early, but it has. And I've been able to tour with some amazing people and play at some most amazing places. And, of course, winning my beautiful little golden guitar this year at Tamworth was just amazing and capped it off wonderfully.
So you've got a little golden guitar. Is it small? Is it smaller than all the others?
Well, I call it little because I'm little, so I like to feel like it's a part of me.
And that was a big night too, wasn't it? The Country Music Awards of Australia too.
It was wonderful.
To be recognised for that.
Definitely, when you think about it, it's one of the highest achievements you can win as a country music artist in Australia. So to be recognised in that way is just great, and it shows you that all your hard work starts to pay off.
And it doesn't always follow that because you're the Star Maker winner that you're going to win anything. And in the past, that hasn't. You know,
oh, definitely. And that's a big thing you've got to think about too, you know, because I don't know what other people might think, but I guess some people have thought in the past, you know, oh, yeah, she's going to win it straight away because she's won Star Maker. But it doesn't work like that. And this year in particular, it was a really hard competition. And I can tell you, I was losing sleep a lot of the nights before it, wondering what was going to happen and who was going to win. But just had my fingers crossed. And luckily, it turned out it was little old me.
Well, I don't think luck's got anything to do with it.
Thank you, John. Hopefully it's been a lot of good hard work.
You make your own luck. Kirsty Lee Akers is my very special guest, Saturday Night Country, and we're going to hear a track from the album. This track, we came in off Little Things, and we let that song tell the story for itself. We're going to hear a song called The Territory. And I want you to just listen to the words of this song, and we'll be back. Talk to Kirsty Lee Akers about this song in just a moment.
I was born in the territory to a woman who never really wanted me. I don't know if Daddy did. I don't even know who he is. When I was three, the territory said Mama couldn't take care of me. They sent strangers in the night to take me away from Mama's side.
Saturday Night Country, I'm John Nutting, and ABC Local Radio, Radio Australia on the World Wide Web, and that song, The Territory, from the album that is called Little Things. We heard that track when we came in. My very special guest is Kirsty Lee Akers, and I've got to say to you that I listened to that song when the record came out, and it's been out for a while. But it wasn't until I actually saw the vision, and I don't usually watch the video and then go back to the song, but in this instance, it happened that I actually looked at that. And suddenly realised that I wasn't listening properly to the song. But it's a very strong song, isn't it? And it's not one that you wrote, but it is about, you know, a very sad part of life.
It is. It's a story about a young girl that grew up in foster care her whole life, and she's about to turn 18, and her whole life she's been shipped to different foster homes, and she's never had the one sort of steady, stable family. And once she turns 18, she'll be out on her own because she'll be an adult, and she's not sure what she's going to do with herself, because when she is 18, she will be all alone because she doesn't have any family. And I think that's just such a sad thing, because so many people do go through that situation, or you know people that have been through that situation. And with myself, it makes me realize how lucky I am that I myself have such a supportive family, and it really makes me wonder what would happen if one day I woke up and I was in that situation, because it's definitely something you wouldn't want to be in those shoes.
So something that you didn't think about, and you don't tend to think about those things, but being the artist who had to interpret that song made you much more aware about that topic.
Definitely. You take your loved ones for granted, I think, sometimes. And, you know, when I first heard this song, it really did touch home and make me realise how lucky I was, because my family have always travelled all around Australia with me, taking me to different talent quests when I was growing up, and always supporting me, coming to the festival at Tamworth every year, and they've always been there. So I'm very lucky, and I think it's just sad that there are people out there that aren't as lucky as what I am.
You didn't write the song.
No, it was written by one of my most favourite songwriters, Angelina Presley, and she actually wrote four of the songs on this album, and she's just amazing. She's a wonderful songwriter, and it's great to see that she can write a song like The Territory, but also she's written songs on my album like Little Things and a song called She Ain't Getting Any, so she's really a broad sort of range of writing she does, and she's just great.
So is she an Australian girl?
She's not, believe it or not. She's from America. So it is really funny that it turned out the song being called The Territory, such an Australian sort of song, you'd think was actually written by an American girl.
It was deliberately written with the name The Territory, or was it just a coincidence?
It was a coincidence. It wasn't actually called The Territory when we first got it. It was called Tennessee. And because I don't live in Tennessee, we decided to change it to make it Australian, because I am Australian and like to sing about Australian things. And so we thought, you know, we tried all different titles, and it just turned out that it happened to be The Territory, and it worked great.
Kirsty Lee, you mentioned there about your family.
Yeah.
Dragging you around all over the place. Who was dragging who? I mean, you didn't say that, but I mean...
Yeah, I was dragging Mum and Dad. I think they probably got sick of it after a while, but they were always supportive, and they always left it up to me to decide whether I wanted to do country music or do whatever I wanted to do in my career. But they were always there to support me, and they took me around nearly every single weekend. When I was growing up, we'd go around the countryside just doing all different competitions, and I was very lucky in that way, because that's how I got to sort of meet so many wonderful people in the country music industry. I grew up with people like the McClymonts and Travis Collins and Diana Corcoran, people like that. We all grew up doing the Talent Quest circuit together, and it's just great to see that we all still know each other today, and we're all hanging in there doing it still.
So you saw them and you became friendly with them, or
definitely.
Were you competing against them?
We're all competing against each other, but it was all something we all loved, so that's what sort of brought us all together, I guess. And I was actually at Mum and Dad's house the other day going through some photos, and I found a photo of me. I was so tiny. I wasn't very tall, and I was standing next to this tall blonde girl, and it was actually Sam McClarmont, and I was about 6 years old, and she was a couple of years younger and older, I should say. And yeah, I think I came third and she came second in the talent quest, and it's just funny to see that sort of thing, but it's great that we're all still hanging about and we're all giving it our best.
I wonder who came first. We can't remember their name.
Yeah, I couldn't recognise the girl, but hopefully she's not around anymore.
She's a has-been. She's a nobody. look, for listeners with us now who wonder about that circuit, you know, it's a very important, has a very important role in Australian country music, has done for many, many years, and it does internationally as well, because it allows young boys and girls to develop a skill. And I mean, I've judged and seen many of those shows, and you hear some wonderful performances, and there's some terrible performances. They're awful. But even so, people are having a go at it, and people do come through that system.
They do.
So you found that worthwhile. Would you encourage others to do that?
Definitely. I think the thing to remember is not to take it so seriously, you know. If you don't win, you don't win. I didn't necessarily go on it to win trophies, you know. You go in it because you want to get out and sing, you know. You can't really go into a pub as a six-year-old and get up and start doing gigs, but I guess doing the talent quest is sort of a way of getting up there and sharing your music with people. But I think if you just do it for fun, and if you love it, love country music and love singing, that's the best thing. I don't think you should be going into it thinking, oh, I've got to win, I've got to beat this person, I've got to beat that person, because that's when you're not loving it anymore. You're doing it sort of as a job, I guess. But I think I'm very lucky that I have loved it all this time, and I haven't taken it so seriously at the talent quest circuit, I should say, seriously, and not gotten beaten up when, you know, when a certain judge doesn't like you, because at the end of the day, it's just one person's opinion, I guess, and if you just keep going at it, you know, you're going to make it.
You've made it already, so that's
words
it.
Words of wisdom from a 20-year-old.
Words of wisdom from a 20-year-old, and let's hear that 20-year-old, and this is Kirsty Lee Akers and Back with Kirsty on Saturday Night Country after this.
I hate your big dumb cowboy boots. I hate your music, no tattoo, it gets to me. I hate the way your green eyes look into mine. Hate the way you hypnotize, it gets to me. Ooh, it gets to me. I try to find some reason to move on with my life. You think I'd have enough now to drive you from my mind. I hate you, have your one-night stands. The girls that hang around your band, it gets to me.
That's called It Gets to Me. ABC Local Radio, Radio Australia, and on the World Wide Web. I'm John Nutting. In our Saturday Night Country studio, sitting opposite me, is the diminutive character of Kirsty Lee Akers. And she does remind everybody that meets her that she's of small stature. And it's a good little, it's not a gimmick, but it is. You get noticed, don't you?
Well, I was going to say, it is a radio interview, so the people at home that can't see me, they might think I'm a big loud person, but I'm not.
You're little, but you are loud. Yeah. I mean, you had to put that on the album, I suppose.
I did. It's a little Jimmy Dickens song, and I actually grew up singing that song when I was little, so it was great to put on the album.
And it works.
It does.
So we've gone over the past, and we've brought it back to this point. You mentioned earlier on that there was a... You were working on a new album. So how far down the track are you?
Well, it gets released in January. So at the moment we're getting all the songs together, writing all the songs, and we're going to start recording very soon. And, just getting all the whole process together. But I can't wait to start recording the new one because, as I said, I was only 18 when I won Star Maker, and that's when I did my first album. And even though it hasn't been that long, as I said, I'll be nearly 21 when I release this new one. So a lot of things have happened in my life since then that have really made me grow up as a person and really changed the way I write songs and what I actually write about now.
What sort of things?
Well, one of the first big things that sort of happened in my life was I did change managers. That was a process I went through. It was a real hard process after Star Maker to change managers. And my mum and dad, they've broken up after a 22-year marriage. So that's been a really hard thing on myself and my brothers. And my partner and I have brought our first house together. So a lot of things that have changed me as a person have made me grow up. And it really does affect the way you write and changes what you write about these days.
So there are and have been some big things.
There has.
So there's the hard life of business in there. Yeah. Then there's the hard fact of life about family issues.
Yeah.
And as an artist, you found it easy to perhaps, you know, write those songs and get some of that, you know, emotion out of your personal life into a song, and then so therefore deal with it.
Definitely, this next album is going to be a lot more personal for myself, because it is going to have songs on the album that are about personal things that have happened to myself. A lot more personal than the first one. I didn't have a bunch of songs on. They're all great songs, but they're not songs that were totally personal to myself. But this next one is going to be a bit of a therapy session, I guess.
A therapy for you, but yes. What about the audience? You know, they're going to understand and relate to that.
Yeah, definitely. Hope so. Hopefully, they can take something away from it, because you know, things that I've been through, they're everyday things that everyday people do go through, and hopefully they can relate to it as well.
So it's important that an artist puts their heart on the line?
I think so, definitely.
And then when you do those songs live on stage?
Yeah, because then people can relate to you. They can get to know you a bit better as a person, I guess, and not just see a person singing a song that might mean totally nothing to them, you know. You tell your story before you sing the song, and they, I guess the audience feels like they get to know you a little bit better.
And they believe that you're singing just for them.
Definitely.
That's what you try to achieve. You are. That's what you try to achieve in your art, I would know.
Definitely.
Now, the last song on the album is called I Dream, He Dreams of Me. Before you came into our studios here, you said all the songs are my favourite on the record. But this one is the one, the most that you enjoy.
It is, definitely.
And why?
Well, I grew up listening to people like Dolly Parton and Hank Williams and George Jones, and Dolly Parton was a huge inspiration to me, and this song has a lot of Dolly inspiration in it, and it does sound like a Loretta Lynn sort of / Dolly Parton song, and I just love singing that sort of style of music, and when I first heard it, I just fell in love with it straight away and knew I wanted to put a song like that on the album, and lucky enough, it was this one.
I don't know where he's sleeping, only know he's not sleeping here. I don't know whose company he's keeping. I only know it's been almost a year.
I Dream, He Dreams of Me. And that's the last track on this album, and that's the last song we're going to hear from Kirsty Lee Akers. And the album Little Things is out. The next time Kirsty Lee is in our Saturday Night Country Studios will be to talk about the brand new album.
Definitely.
And I'm looking forward to that already, but there's still a lot of life in this record. And briefly, as we come to the end of our chat, towards the end of this year, what sort of things have you got in mind? What's happening?
Well, I'm pretty busy for the rest of the year. I've been busy the whole year, but I get a lot more busy as the end of the year comes. I'm doing a tour with a bunch of other girls, really great friends. It's called Chick Frontier, and it's myself, Amber Lawrence, Diana Corcoran, and Elise Simmons, and we're doing that to the end of the year, and that's going to be lots of fun. And I've been touring around with James Blundell again this year. Can't seem to get rid of that fella. I got the tour of him last year, and I get the tour of him again this year, and basically just working on the album. We're going to start recording very soon, and that'll take up pretty much the rest of the year until the start of January it'll get released. So it's going to be a very exciting year for the rest of the year.
Will you have a song from the new record before the Country Music Awards?
I'm hoping so. Fingers crossed. I have to read those Golden Guitar rules.
You'll be right. And I'll see you there anyway. Kirsty Lee Akers, thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me.